All right, this is interesting. We had a couple people who called in this week with vaccine injuries, shoulder injury related to vaccine administration, cervix injuries.
Yeah, and so one of the first times we ever recorded together, I blanked out entirely on that acronym. So I know it a little bit.
There we go. We got it. We got it. So there were a couple people. I know today we're recording on a certain day that we have a meeting in the morning about new clients that have called us or contacted us over the past week. And I know there were a couple that were on the list that we didn't talk about because we didn't have any time, but they were cases that are over in your division, in the vaccine division of the law firm here. And it just reminded me that we need to talk more about this because it still is continuing to be fascinating to me that there is this Court of Federal Claims that has money out there that's paying for people's injuries related to a vaccine administration. And do you recall with these new clients that came in, what kind of vaccines did they get?
If I remember correctly, I believe they were all flu shots.
So all flu shots. So I got influenza A a couple months ago. It was horrific. And I did get my flu shot late last year. So with flu shots, what kind of, well, I guess, where is the flu shot administered? And here, you don't have to say yes or no, but I'm going to put you on the spot here, Seth, because you're here too. And let me just introduce everybody. Sorry, Ryan Truesdale is here with us, one of our attorneys in our vaccine division, and handles our wrongful death and nursing home cases, the really complex cases. And then Seth, one of our law clerks, is here too. So have you ever gotten a flu shot, Seth?
Yes.
And where did you get it administered?
Target.
No, where in your body?
Oh, in my arm.
In your arm.
He's not wrong, John.
But no, that's true. It's a bad question. Bad question. So, but that's a good point. So it can be Target, the Target pharmacy, which
sure.
I think is maybe CVS.
Yes.
They have, yeah. Or Walgreens pharmacy or any hospital that has a pharmacy. So, or it could be on a military base. I know that there are clients we've had that are international, really, that got the flu vaccine on a military base, or gosh, it could be prison, it could be jail, it could be at any kind of community health services too. Anywhere where you get a flu vaccine or any type of vaccine, right?
I was going to say, yeah, it's not limited to just flu. There's actually a whole table. So the pneumonia shot, like Prevnar, for example, is a popular one. That's actually, we have a client out in Russia right now that had that. But, you know, flu is the most common one just because everybody gets it. But like chicken pox, you know, but pretty much anything you can think of is on the table.
So if it's on the table, does that mean that we have to prove different things in order to get compensation for these victims?
Yes and no. So as long as it's on the table, you're able to get compensation on these things. So the first thing is this a covered shot? Then when we know it's on the table, there are specific injuries that are on it as well as time limits. So then we can compare. So a shoulder injury, for example, a cerva, what we do is first we see, you know, flu shot, that's on the table. Now the next thing we have to do is when did the injury start after getting the shot? If it's within 48 hours, now that's another thing that we can check. The next thing is going to be, was there surgery or did it last for 6 months or more? And as long as you hit one of those, you're then able to say, well, now they're entitled to compensation, meaning that if you want to look at liability, we're saying that flu shot is what caused this shoulder injury.
So you're looking at, I guess, the elements of a claim, and what you just put forth are the elements. And like you said, you just have just different boxes you have to check. So if you check all those boxes, then how do you know what to ask? Well, sorry, who do you ask for compensation?
So we file a claim through the U.S. Court of Federal Claims, and there is a fund that is put aside that's basically consisting of taxes that are put on every single vaccine. So you bring the claim through that court, and then you start talking to the chief special master or the special master, depending on what type of injury it is. And they're very highly specialized. And again, if we're at a point now where you've checked all those boxes, we're able to prove entitlement, it becomes solely a damages conversation. And that's going to be talking to, they go by the respondents, but the federal government over, based upon case law, what is adequate compensation? And that's something very, very different from a typical civil injury, a civil lawsuit. If you're in a car accident, for example, if you went to court saying, hey, this last person in this car accident got this much money, the judge is going to say, you know, who cares? Let's let a jury decide. In this, the U.S. Court of Federal Claims, when you bring these vaccine claims, it's very heavily based upon case law. And we use that to determine what is fair for our clients that got these injuries. And just to be clear, you know, CERVA is just the most common injury, but there's a lot of things available. Guillain-Barré syndrome, for example, things like that, just pretty much anything you can think of. I mean, there's wrongful death cases because a person goes into anaphylactic shock because they have a vaccine. Now, it's important to say that doesn't happen with every shot. So it's good, you know, people keep getting your shots because it is ultimately the statistics are on your side. But if anything goes wrong, there are options available.
Well, and I know that, boy, this was months upon months ago, we had an interview about that. And we had somewhere, there are numbers that I think Attorney Conkle or you had provided that were however many millions of shots are administered a year. And then the number of claims brought to the U.S. Court of Federal Claims is maybe thousands. And I don't want to speak out of turn, but the percentages are so minuscule. Now, certainly these claims happen. And I think there are a lot of people who are injured who have valid claims and they just don't know it, because I didn't know that this court, this system was set up until maybe a couple of years ago. So it was news to me, and I've been a lawyer for, 22 years now, and this system has been set up, I think, since the 1980s?
Right, and I can assure you it creates confusion amongst my own peers. If I'm at any kind of lawyer function, what do? Vaccine law, it's usually, what does that even mean?
Yeah.
So, I mean, even attorneys aren't aware of this program.
Yeah, it's very interesting. It's, I think, similar to some regard to Wisconsin's workers' comp laws, where it's like a no-fault system. If these things happen, then you are entitled to compensation. It's just a matter of what. And, you know, in workers' comp, there's always some gray area about how it happened, what happened, repetitive injuries, things like that. Just like this, there's some gray area that, well, did you tell somebody about the injury soon enough? You know, did you report it? Did the injury last long enough? You know, those kind of things. It's very fascinating. So, where in your body, Seth, was the vaccine administered?
In the arm.
In the arm. And I think that's part of the thing, Ryan, right? That if it goes too high or too low, it can hit a nerve maybe? Is that part of the injury?
It can be. So with nerves, that will then fall off the table. And now that's when we have to start talking about experts being called in to say what happened. But the classic CERVA injury is going to be, it's in your deltoid, left or right, but if it's too high, it's going to go basically into the shoulder, into a part called the bursa, which causes inflammation, and it causes a lot of pain and stiffness. If a person gets that and just stops moving their shoulder, then they're at risk of frozen shoulder, also known as adhesive capsulitis. And that's usually where a lot of the problems come. So now they have to do physical therapy to try to loosen it up. And if it gets worse, then surgery is necessary.
Wow, interesting.
Sure. So with injuries like this that people are sustaining from getting these vaccines, are they easily connected to the vaccine itself, or how does that correlation work?
That's one of those, it all depends. So I've been talking primarily about these CERVA claims just because it's the easiest one to understand. Again, you kind of want to look at this checklist. If you can show that a person has no pre-existing conditions, so they don't have a shoulder issue prior, and within 48 hours of receiving this shot, they have a problem, and it lasts for 6 months, the government just concedes at that point. They're entitled, let's just talk about damages at this point.
So then it's your job to make sure we have all the damages on the table.
Well, right. All the damages on the table, knowing the case law, knowing where they should fall, what is fair and what's not. I'll always tell my client, here's what the proffer is at this point. You know, if we want, we can fight it. And this is what I think the results will be. So I definitely put the damages on the table and also make sure that the client understands exactly what they can get and what they should be going for.
So let's differentiate this. So Seth, do you know a typical car accident case, a car crash case, how are attorneys paid from that case?
Are you speaking on contingency, as you mean by that?
Contingency, yes. Yeah. So they're paid contingency. So let's say there's an offer of $10,000 the typical law firm would have a contingency of what percentage of that $10,000?
One-third.
So the client would get potentially $6,700 approximately of the $10,000 if there were no medical bills that were needed to get paid out of that. Okay, so out of the $10,000, attorney's fees and costs come off the top. And then let's say you're paying back doctors $1,000, then the client would get about $5,600 or $700. Okay, so that's the car accident case of a $10,000 offer. So on a vaccine injury case, Ryan, how are attorney's fees paid and how much of the offer from the U.S. government from that fund will go in the client's pocket?
Well, that's the best part about this program. The federal government pays 100% of my attorney fees. So therefore, if, you know, in the scenario you gave of $10,000 and the client, you know, you have to take the attorney fees and that out, they don't get the $10,000. Here, if a proffer is made or an offer, whatever it may be, 100% of that money goes in the client's pocket. And that's tax-free. That's all to them, whatever that offer, proffer, stipulation, whatever it is may be. The federal government then on its own and in a separate way pays my attorney fees. So at no point does a client ever have to pay me anything. Costs are even paid by them also. So they get 100% of what the proffer offer stipulation is.
Interesting. So it's really no risk for the client to come and talk to you about a vaccine injury. And it's something where you can not only educate them, but you could get them compensation if they meet all the elements on the table.
Absolutely.
Interesting. All right. Well, thank you very much for a topic on the fly. I appreciate this, being able to go through this. I think what we want to do is make sure we have more information for, you know, Samster, Conklin, Safran, SKSlawyers.com, so we can educate people about these kind of injuries, because this is something, like, you know, like we said before, not many lawyers know about it. I had a meeting with a doctor, boy, a few weeks ago, and we were talking about this, and that doctor didn't have any clue about this either. I think this is something that we need to educate more people about, this injury, because it's being, I think, misunderstood and misdiagnosed. And I think there's still billions upon billions of dollars in this fund that need to go to the people that deserve it, and those are the injured people. All right, Seth, thank you. Ryan, thank you.
Oh, it was a pleasure.
Thanks, John.